Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 173 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Friday, May 9th, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Krzyżanez, and I'm here to talk about some board games. As always, Thursday is my regular board game night. There are other ones that I occasionally just will attend. I may not play as many games or whatnot, but Thursday over at Gmart, which if you are local to Chicago, it's right across the street from the Logan Square Blue Line stop. So if you're ever feeling adventurous and want to play a few board games with some lovely people like me, you can go on down there every Thursday. It's 7 p.m. starts, and yeah, it's a great, great time. You can also find it on Facebook, so then you'll actually see the event and everything, because there could be a time when it's not actually happening, and then you show up and you're like, whoa, what's going on? But to the actual board games. So I finally played my copy of Bang the Dice Game, and I also wrote up a little review for it, which is already up on the site. So I'm not going to be saying like, oh, it might be up before you hear this. But it's already up there. I gave it 4 out of 5 sausages because I'll just review it again right now, because why the hell not, right? Right? So a lot of people have said, for instance, on the Dice Tower, or I think even in some of the top 10 videos, I think all 3 of them have said it, Tom, Z, and Sam, that Bang the Dice Game replaces Bang the Card Game. I wouldn't say that at all. Bang the Dice Game does not replace Bang the Card Game. It basically takes the essentials of the card game and then just throws it into a much quicker, shorter, simpler dice game so that you can get a game done in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'd say 10 minutes is probably after you've played a few games, and if you're playing with people who have all played before and know what to do, 10 minutes easily. But yeah, it does not replace the card game at all, because it does lose a lot in this re-implementation. So before I get to that, though, I'm going to talk about actually the dice game itself. Bang the Dice Game is very much so like Yahtzee or King of Tokyo, to, you know, talk about an actual board game. Not to say Yahtzee isn't a board game, but I don't know if people like Yahtzee anymore, or people who are not old. I love Yahtzee, but it's not a game I would ever take to game night. But the way it works is that, just like in the card game, everyone first gets their rolls. So depending on how many people are playing, it plays 3 to 8. You will have a certain number of deputies, a certain number of renegades, a certain number of outlaws, and then your one sheriff. Except in the 3-player game, which gets rid of the sheriff and then has the deputy, one deputy, one outlaw, and one renegade. And I don't remember the exact way it works specifically with the characters, but the way it works is that, say, I think like the deputy, their goal is to kill the outlaw. The outlaw's goal is to kill the renegade. The renegade's goal is to kill the deputy. You know, it's something along those lines. And I think that could be fairly interesting. But I've only played it the regular way. Just with more than 3 people. And after everyone gets the rolls, you then are given a character card face up. There is no, unlike with the card game, you don't get 2 character cards and then get to pick one. You just are given one, which I don't like, and there are a few things with the dice game that you could just adjust yourself, and you could just basically make a house rule and just say, well, this is how we're always going to play. We're going to play it where we hand out 2 to each person. Because I feel like giving people at least some kind of choice would be beneficial. So each person gets their character card, and they have various abilities on there. Like one person will be able to use the like marksman cards, marksman dice to shoot one distance further. There's a character who I had them when I was the deputy, and it was really helpful. Every time someone gets eliminated from the game, get 2 life points back, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then when you get all that, you know, you get your life points. In the dice game, the sheriff gets 2 additional life points above whatever the card says. And the cards have, I think the range is between 7 and 9 life points. So you have more life in this game because it goes faster and there are a lot of chances to lose a lot of life fast. So you have your dice and they come with 6 sides. So they're 6-sided dice. 6-sided die. And 2 of them are both basically like targets, you know, like your little marksman symbol with a number in them. And they have the number 1 or the number 2. Number 1 means you can shoot a distance 1 away from you, left or right. And then the number 2, you can shoot a distance 2 away from you, left or right. And the thing about that one specifically is that if you roll the 2, you have to shoot someone who is 2 away from you. You can't decide to shoot between 1 and 2. If it's a 2, you have to shoot someone who is 2 away from you. So that's important to keep that in mind. Then there's the dynamite, which if you roll that, you can't re-roll it. Like in King of Tokyo, when you roll your dice in the beginning of your turn, you can re-roll it twice. Any dice you want. You don't have to re-roll all of them. You can re-roll. I'm just slurring that. I'm just putting it all together in one word. I'm trying to streamline that like the dice game does with Bang the Card Game. Instead of saying re-roll, I want to say roll. but you can re-roll as many dice or none if you want after rolling your first time. but if you roll dynamite, you cannot re-roll those. They lock in. And if you roll 3 dynamite on your turn at any point during a re-roll or the first roll, you immediately lose your turn and lose 1 life point. So dynamite is actually not that terrible in the game. And also, if you do that and you lose your turn, the other dice, whatever they are, you first, before you give the dice to the other player and they go, you resolve the effects of those as well. So if you, God, I hate this. I don't want to ever talk about a dice game again because this re-rolling is driving me nuts. But if you say rolled 3 dynamite and then 1 marksman, 1 target that's 1 away, 1 target that's 2 away, then you also get to shoot 1 away and 2 away. Then there's also the arrow, which is the dice game's version of Indians. And this is basically the dynamite of the dice game. This is the thing that could really just F up people, because the way it works is there are 9 arrows. You have 9 arrow tokens. When you roll an arrow, before you do anything else, you have to immediately resolve that effect, which means you just take an arrow from the middle of the table, from the little pile where they are, and you take it. And then you can re-roll that arrow if you want. You don't have to, but you can re-roll it. If you get another arrow or multiple arrows, you're going to take more arrows. Once that pile is empty, once somebody has taken the last arrow from the middle of the table, everyone who has an arrow counts them up, takes away that many life points. And that could be very, very bad, because it's pretty easy for some people to get like 5 arrows, and then that's a lump sum. That is a huge amount of damage to take in one go. And it doesn't even have to be your turn, so you won't, you know, it can happen when you're not even able to do anything about it. So once that happens too, once all the arrows are taken and then the damage is dealt, you put all the arrows back in the middle of the table and it just resets. So Indians, the arrow in the dice game, is the most dangerous thing as far as I'm concerned, I can't see anything else being more dangerous than that. And then there's also the bear. The beer, which is 1 life point you can gain back, or you can give it to someone else. Say you're the deputy and you want to help out the sheriff, you can do that. But you can't, like in the card game, you can't go above your max health. And then there's also then 3 gunshots, which is the Gatling gun for the dice game. And if you roll 3 of those, then you've successfully role. You successfully gotten the Gatling gun. Everyone else but you takes damage, one damage, and then if you have any arrows, you get to discard all of them, put them back in the middle of the table. So there could be strategy in that, more so if you have a lot of arrows to go after that and not just so that you can shoot everyone on the table. So that's a nice little thing. But that's pretty much all there is to the game. So it's super simplified and it's super fun. It's a great filler game, but there are things about it that I miss from the card game. Like, I like having more strategy, like thinking about what you're doing and more of the abilities, like Cat Blue, or Panic, where you have the ability to take away someone's card, or I think it's with the Panic one where you get to take away someone's card and give it to yourself. So, I mean, there are a lot more in there too. But because it's a lot simpler, the dice game is a lot easier to teach. It's a lot faster to teach, so, and it's easy to learn because you don't have to worry about a lot of these small little details. Because with the card game, it is a game that is fairly simple, basically, in concept. But then when you start playing it, I mean, if you play with someone new, I did this, and anyone will do this, is there will be a lot of, well, what does this card do? Because there are a lot of cards that just have different symbols. Like, they might have a miss on there, but then they have something else, you know, that indicates when you use this as a miss, you get to draw a card. And it's like, well, I mean, there are so many little details on a lot of cards that the card game can be a bit, not intimidating, but just like, what the hell? There's so many different things. Whereas the dice game is just really, really straightforward and simple. But there's also other things, like there's no penalty if the sheriff kills the deputy. There's no reward if you kill an outlaw. You can make your own up, but it would be nice. I'm not a fan of adjusting rules, not because I can't think of anything to adjust, or I can't think of my own things to add in. But when I'm buying a board game, or when a board game's designed, I don't feel like it's my responsibility to create, you know, the rules and all that stuff. It's very minor stuff, and maybe that is just to keep the game as simple as possible. But yeah, the dice game is a very fun filler game, but it does not at all replace the card game. So if you have the card game, don't throw it away when or if you get the dice game. I think they work well off each other. They have their own strengths and weaknesses, and I like them both. I would never play the dice game more than like two or three times in a row, and I think two is more so that's a good place to stop. But yeah, I like the game. The components are nice. Where all the tokens were, the punch board, like half of them just wanted to fall out, which was super nice, because I always get a little bit paranoid when punching out tokens, because I'm like, oh, this, especially when in some cases they really don't want to come out. It's like, oh, this is going to tear up horribly, but they just wanted to fall out with banging the dice game. So it's a very quick, fun, great little filler. Nothing more than that. Not a replacement for banging the card game. Not any kind of big game that will do anything but fill your... It's a snack. It is a snack. That's what it is. It's a snack game, and that's all it ever will be. And maybe for some people, that's what they always wanted banging the card game to be, is just a snack, and they don't like that it's way most of the time... More than that, it's not really snacky. It's more of a meal. But I like that about it. So that is Bang the Dice Game. Another game I played at game night, this wasn't one of my games, was 1969, which is a space game. And it's basically about getting as many victory points as you can. You have seven turns. You start out in 1963, and each round is a year. So it's to 64, and then the last year is 1969, and you're trying to get to the moon, and you get more points if you get back. But I have to talk about something else before I get into the actual game, and I don't think this person will ever listen to the show. People who have played with this person will. I don't really care, but I really don't like, I don't appreciate it when someone is so just against the game right off the bat. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm not a fan of the snooty elitist board gamer who's just like shits over everything other than like these certain few that they've deemed worthy of praise. And we happen to be playing with a person like that. And it was very annoying. And it was clear right at the beginning of setup that, like, just his expression and just the noises he was making, that he was not down with this game. He was not into 1969. And then as we set everything up and we're getting ready to start the game, I stopped everyone. I just basically said to him, if you want out, this is the time to get out before we do anything. And he said, no, I don't, that would be rude. And I didn't say anything, but I'm like thinking, that wouldn't be rude. If you don't want to play a game, don't play the game. That's perfectly fine. I'm going to skip ahead and sort of go over, but another person placed a spy on his board. He didn't care about the game right off the bat in the beginning. At no point did he ever care about the game. So he was never playing or trying or cared about what was going on. Then someone placed a spy on one of his cards. And then he was like, oh, this hurts me negatively. And then that made him angry for whatever stupid reason it did. And he then made it his goal for the rest of the game to just first and foremost screw that guy over. So he just would buy all the spies up and just place them all over his cards to give him a disadvantage. And then he would just keep buying everything later on and just doing all these other things to just screw everyone else over and ruin the experience for everyone else. And I was just thinking when he did this, and also when the game was over, he didn't help clean up at all. He didn't give a shit about any of that. I'm sorry for swearing. But it was really annoying and just frustrating. But he's a very self-centered person. But he just was, I mean, you don't want to not play a game because you say that would be rude if you said, yeah, I'll play this game, and then you realize that it's not a game that you think you'd be into, but you're going to stick it out anyway, even though we still could have played the game. We had more than enough people to actually play the game. We didn't need you to stick around. But then somebody does something to you in the game, a game that you're playing but not caring about at all, and then you decide to just ruin it and just try to make the experience worse for everyone else playing. And you were worried about being rude in the beginning. You weren't rude in the end. You were just a giant a-hole. You were just a giant list of expletives. I mean, you were so much worse than you ever would have been considered if you just decided not to play the game. And it was really annoying. Because I would, on a scale of 1 to 10... I would give 1969, I still haven't talked about the game yet, but I would give that probably around a 7. I did enjoy the game. I mean, I enjoyed the idea of the game more so, but playing with him, that experience was, it more so put my, what I would score based just specifically that experience would probably be around a 5 because of him. Because of him, I would give the game 2 less points, 2 less numbers. I would drop it down 2 points because of him, solely because of him, because he was such a horrible, horrible player, a horrible, horrible just person to do anything with. He also made a crack about my shirt earlier in the day that I was really unsure of as to what he meant or like what he was talking about. I could see maybe what he was saying, like what I think he was saying was extremely offensive if he was saying that. So I just like to think that he wasn't. Basically, I had this free shirt, and it's a really stupid shirt. It says, "The world's greatest sausage in the world." One, I think it's a stupid shirt because it's just stupid. And two, it's stupid because Why is it? It should just be the greatest sausage in the world. Why does it? Why is it the world's greatest sausage in the world? I don't know about that. But he looked at the shirt, and he shook his head a little and smacked his lips, and then basically said something along the lines of, well, there's our public school system at work. And I was like, what? I didn't say anything, but I'm just thinking to myself, are you calling me stupid and the public school system crappy and all basing that on this shirt? Don't look down to me because of this shirt I'm wearing. I'm a fairly intelligent person, though in all my intelligence and all the mass of knowledge I have to look to, in that moment, I didn't want to go to that. I wanted to go to my fist and punch him in the face at that very moment. He's brought some interesting board games that I've really liked to game night. And I'm usually okay with his elitist attitude. But this particular game night, he was on a whole new level. And it was just, there are other things going on too, but I don't think any of those had anything to do with how annoyed I was with him at this point. But let's talk about the board game. Let's get back on a better subject, because I don't know if anybody would have cared about what I just said. But 1969, there's plays 2 to 5, and there's the Germans, the Russians, the Canadians, the Americans, and the, is it the Chinese? I think I'm just going to say it is. But pick one nation. There's the little cardboard shuttles. Also, the guy who brought this game, who I believe his name is Lewis. But then I feel like there's something else. I always call him the flower guy. But I like him a lot. He's a really good guy. He's nice and all that. But he also brings interesting different games to board game night. He's the same person who brought Corporate America a few weeks ago. Maybe it might have been a month ago at this point. But I like that about him. And he's a good guy. So what you're doing is you have two, not character cards, but you have two cards that have various little spaces on them. And what you are basically doing in each turn is you start off with 12 million. And with each round, each year, you get more money, and you can get money through other ways as well. But you are buying scientists, and then you put them on your card somewhere, and they'll have certain abilities, or they will help you get through a mission. Like, it'll give you a bonus when you start a mission, or the ability to reroll a die or to change a die face from blue to green, etc. And the way it works is that you go on missions and you get victory points for doing that. And if a mission is done the next year comes around, that mission, you would end up getting one less victory point for that. But basically, it's just a race for victory points through these 7 rounds to 7 years. You get a little bit more money with each year. And then it's really just this race to victory points. And it's a decent game. I enjoyed it. The scientists are all, they have their perks. The blues are, they cost 3 million, so they're super cheap, so you can place them on a lot of things. And each scientist, except for the red ones, which I'll get to, count as one on the your sheets. So there will be two open spaces, though you can use another one to get an additional one. I'll get to that. But there are two open spaces by default on each little section. And the scientists are worth one, so that if you put a blue one on the ability that allows you to reroll a die, then you could reroll one die once. If you put another blue one on there, that would give you two rerolls, which you could use to reroll two dice or one die twice. There are the whites, which are 5 million, and like whites are they're completely pointless otherwise. They're basically scientists to fill spaces. The Blues are cheap, but at the end of the game, you lose two victory points for each one you have. The Blacks are spies, so you take one of those and you put it on somebody else's card in a certain space. They will not be able to use that space anymore, and then you gain an extra an extra cube on the same corresponding space on your card. And then there are the Greens, which are 9 million, count as one, but at the end of the game, they give you plus 3 victory points for each one you have. And then the Reds, 11 million, most expensive, but they count double. So you have a limited amount of space, so if there's something you really want, you put a red on there, you get two reds on there, then instead of having, say, you know, only two of that, actually, like, if, say, you can only re-roll two dice or one die twice, you have two reds in that same area instead, then you can re-roll four dice, or you can re-roll one die three times, and then another one once, except, you know, however you get to four eventual re-rolls. And then, after the purchasing phase of scientists, you can go on a mission. You don't have to, because the missions do cost money, though there are things that will make them cost less, and some could cost free. They could be free early on. And you pay to go on them, and then you take the five dice and you roll them. They have blue faces, green faces, red faces. Red means a fail. Green means a pass. Blue is neutral. If there's a green and a red, red cancels out every green on there. So those can be bad. But there is a certain space on one of the cards where for each red you get plus 3 million. So those could be beneficial early on, but it didn't end up working out for me that much. I put a lot of money into that early on. Didn't end up rolling a lot of reds ever, so that wasn't so great for me. And for each green you have, let's just say you rolled four green, one blue, and let's say you also had a scientist on the space that allows you to change a blue to a green. So now you have five green. You start off at, you know, with no advancement on a mission. Then you move up five spaces. In the first area, that would be a successful mission. And if you succeed in a mission, you not only get the max victory points, but then you also move up a little on the long path to the moon, and back to planet Earth. So that is that's helpful in the end game, because getting to the moon is worth a little bit of money. Getting back to Earth is 35 total victory points. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of victory points. So that'll be helpful when you're getting close to the end game. And then you basically just keep doing this for the seven rounds of 7 years. There's also a few other things, like you can lose victory points to gain some millions, and you can do that more as the years progress. I never did that once, and maybe that's one of the reasons why I won. There are also cards in the game that there's a part on one of the cards where you can put scientists in that space and you will get cards each turn, or you can buy them for 2 million each. And basically what those have are, they are basically sort of like, not, they're like spaces, free spaces. And depending on the mission, you will need a certain number for each space. So it basically would count as one green face of the die when you're doing a mission. So those help out a lot in the end when you're trying to go to, say, Earth. And I won in the end. I had 68 total points. I was so disappointed because I had 69, but then I had I had one green and two blue. So I lost 1 point and it took me down to 68. Super disappointing, but I still won. I was Canada. And I don't think I mentioned that. The Greens, they give you plus 3 victory points. So each one you have, I think I said they give you plus victory points, but I don't remember if I said how much. And you just, so it's all about victory points. I enjoy the game. I would really love to play it again, because I have a handle of it now. And that one guy really effed up the experience, and I don't feel it's fair to the game that my one experience was that. Even though I did still like it in the end, that whole thing was looming over there. And also, shout out to the container store and Lewis for getting these awesome containers for where he put the scientists there. And I think he said it was like $1 for the whole thing. They're little tubes, probably about a half an inch high each, and there's like 5 of them, and they screw into the bottom of another tube, and then one has a top, of course, the highest, the topmost cylinder, but they're really tiny, and it's a great, I mean, they make for great, a lot of just any board game that has small pieces that you'd like to organize in that kind of way, especially if there are like things where you're going to keep them out on the table for people to pick at. Because, I mean, we all know so many board games do not do a good job of keeping their components organized themselves, which is sad. And then the other main game I played, I'm not sure if I played another game other than this. I think I did play the regular Resistance, but then I finally played the Resistance Avalon, and I prefer the Resistance. I don't like the added, I don't say straight, it just seems like it's excess and not necessity. I don't know, I wanted it to rhyme with excess, so it's like necessity. So, you know, you have Merlin, who, I mean, I just like the Resistance, the regular Resistance, because it is just close your eyes, spies open your eyes, okay, close your eyes, everyone open your eyes, let's go. With the Resistance Avalon, it's okay, everyone close your eyes, the agents of Mordor or whatever it is, open your eyes, okay, now close your eyes, agents of Mordor, now everyone reach out one of your hands, now agents of Mordor, stick out your thumbs, now Merlin, open your eyes, okay, look at that, okay, Merlin, close your eyes, agents of Mordor, put your thumbs away, now Merlin, put your thumb up, now Mordecai or per whatever, I see, this is what happened, everyone was calling this character Jack Black, so I forgot the name of the actual character, so I'm just gonna call him Jack Black, because I don't, it's like per celestialis, I don't know, so Jack Black, open your eyes, you get to see who Merlin is, because that, the role of Merlin, I mean, the role of whatever Jack Black is to sort of mimic Merlin, is just to make sure that people don't know who Merlin is, because at the very end of the game, if the agents of Mordor or wherever they're from lose, they have one chance to still win, and that is the assassin and the other agents will be able to help them out in deciding, gets to choose who they will assassinate. And if they correctly, I mean, they're trying to assassinate Merlin, but of course they may not. If they do assassinate Merlin, they end up winning the game. Everything that happened before doesn't matter. So I don't like the Avalon, just at least in what I played. If I had a choice, because I don't like that those few extra layers. I just feel like it's adding on to a game that doesn't need the addition. And I really don't like, the end game where the bad guys have this play where they can, even if they fail, to do the regular game, they fail to successfully do that, that they then have this out to just like negate everything that happened before and become the winners. I hate that so much. I think that is such a stupid aspect to have in a game. It's like, okay, so you spent whatever, 15, well, maybe, I mean, if there's a lot of talking and a lot of going back and forth, maybe you spent a half an hour playing this game, and the, whatever, Merlin and the Knights of the Round Table, or whoever technically are, you guys won. Oh, but wait, there's an assassin, now they get to choose, and the agents will be able to help them, who they want to assassinate. And if it's Merlin, all that time you spent beforehand, without, and where you really, you battle that out using all your bluffing and figuring out working teams and all that stuff, to win the game, yeah, that doesn't matter. Because if they successfully find out who, if they successfully choose Merlin and assassinate him, everything else doesn't matter. Who puts that in a game? That's so stupid. So I don't like the Resistance Avalon. I think it's a stupid version. It's not an expansion. It's just sort of a reskinning, I guess, with additional aspects and rules. Don't like it. I'd just much rather play the Resistance. And I think maybe there's like something to the Resistance, or there was like an expansion or some promo that added a bit of complication on that too. I just like it nice and simple. Spies, open your eyes. You know who you are. Try and win the game. Try and trick the Resistance. Try and fool them. That's what works for me. But yeah, so that was game night. Before that, and I did this thing, and I'm going to keep doing it because I think I liked it. I think it's going to work. I think I took some pictures, but I forgot to take a picture of the end game of my winning flag. My winning Canadian flag of 1969. I'm going to do one for this too. But I played a game called Baldrick's Tomb. And it's just sort of like a dungeon crawler. It's just trying to end up with the most gold by the end of the game. And there's a solo version, which is what I played. I tried the solo, not variant, just solo rules. But what I did was, I took some pictures as I was playing the game. And I didn't do many. And I didn't do anything that was too exciting because I didn't know. I was just messing around or whatever. I was just playing the game. And I was like, I'll take a picture here. And then I'll take a picture here, whatever. I posted them on Instagram. And then I was like, maybe I should put all these into, collect them all and put them all in a single post on Pixelated Sausage. And I did that. And then I posted them. I'm like, I like the way this looks. You know, this like almost like long scroll of various images of the board game, because it came out nice. I was using the Lumia 1020, which has an amazing camera. That's one of the things it's really, really good for. It's a fantastic point-and-shoot camera. But I did that, and I was like, I like this. And then I like my stupid name for the feature, Instaboardgramming. Oh, I'm so clever. Oh, I'm so funny, too. Oh, yeah, I know. You don't have to pat me on the back. But I think it's going to be a regular thing. And also, in the future ones, I think I'm going to put like captions, little descriptions between each photo, or I may just throw it all at the end, like a summary of the playthrough, if I feel like the captions are a bit too, if they just break the flow of the scroll of pictures. But I think it was a fun, and it's a nice visual thing to just have, in addition to, say, talking about a game on the podcast or writing about it, etc. I'm going to do one for Bang the Dice game as well. But yeah, so Baldrick's Tomb, basically like a dungeon crawler. I need to play more, but I play the solo version, which you throw away your character card, and then you just use this roguelike, basically, character sheet. And you basically play it like a roguelike in a way. And I don't think it works. And I mean, there are other, it does come with a fair amount of like variants and additional rules and additional ways to play. There are certain things, like there's the Necromancer or whatever, where it's not even in the main rules. So there are various things that don't even come into play unless you play different versions of the game. But I don't think it worked that well as a solo game. It just didn't feel that fun. And there's also like a variant for turning it into a co-op game. And I think that I'm going to try it out soon as well, not just solo again. But I think it will be a much more fun game to play competitively with other people. And also, just in case you are wondering, it is a very, 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 maybe that's too many varies, but it is a fairly light game. The basic way it's set up is that you have your character, you roll dice to find out where he goes on the board. Then there are these, they're not all treasure pieces, but you have these different tokens, and they're basically like a cave on there, and then there's something on the other side. Maybe it's a monster encounter, or you found some treasure, or you found a scroll, or you found a trap, whatever. And you just walk around the board. You get four moves per turn. With each turn, you move down this little like disc towards doom, towards basically that floor collapsing, in which case you would lose half your gold and be immediately put to the next floor. Or you could just use the stairs before that happens to not have any kind of negative effect on you. And you just walk over things. If you walk on the space, you can't walk diagonally. So you walk on a space, you flip over that thing, then you do whatever that is. So if it's a treasure, take a treasure card. If it's a monster, you attack a monster. And the attacking monsters are very simple. The card has a certain number of HP, then it has a certain number of gold. That's how much gold you get if you kill it. Then on the card, it will have, usually the level ones, I think, are the only ones that have it. They'll have, like, if you roll a one, you only roll one die. If you roll a one, then that monster will run away. You won't take any damage or anything like that, so that at least is good, but you won't have a chance of getting that gold. Then the smaller numbers, you roll that, you take one damage. Then there'll be somewhere in the middle, maybe one or two numbers in the middle. If you roll that, then you get, you still take one damage, but you do one damage to the monster. And then the highest numbers, you do damage, one damage. That's how it works. I think it would just be a better competitive game because I look at some of the cards and the ones like you force someone to fight a monster. And they're level like 1, 2, and 3 monsters, and it's seems like an okay game. I just feel like it's a light game that needs to be played competitively. And when I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about rules in general, and I think in most cases, probably when it comes to board games, at least from the main designers, the main rules are going to be the way to play it, the way to best enjoy a game. There could be variants included in a board game or additional rules, but the main rules are going to be the best way in most cases because the game was designed first and foremost with those rules in mind. Now, the other rules may still be great and may even be better than the main rules, but I think in most cases, because, you know, Baldrick's Tomb was made with this idea in mind of playing to get the most gold competitively, not cooperatively, that playing that way would be the most fun because that is the original way the designer intended the game to be played. And the single player option just feels like, oh, let's try to throw in some way because we know there are people who like playing single player games, like playing board games solo, so let's have something. And it just feels really sort of tacked on. But then again, maybe it's, and there are also little rules that I would personally want to just change and do my own little like switch ups. I don't like the fact that when playing solo, the skill cards, like when you play solo, you don't start off with anything. Then you could buy skill cards and you basically level up your character that way. But you get to look at all the skill cards and just buy whatever you want. And I guess that makes sense, like if it's trying to mimic a video game where you get to pick whatever skill you want. But I kind of like more of the randomness because when doing it that way, where you get to look at them all, that means that I'm probably just going to always pick the same one because there are some ones that are clearly better than others, especially when playing solo. So I kind of would prefer the randomness of it to make every game, you know, so that every game doesn't feel exactly the same. But it's an okay game, but I need to play it some more. I want to try and play it again solo with maybe some more rules or differences or something. And then I need to play it. I know I need to play it competitively, maybe cooperatively as well, but competitively with the main rules is a definite. I have to do that. But yeah, that is all I've played. I do have a copy of Slash came in, so I will be checking that out and reviewing that. And then I got another Kickstarter thing that I didn't even realize was on its way, and it's kind of awesome, and I'm excited to mess around with it. But it is the Zaunt deck, which is basically just a deck of playing cards, but not playing card, not like, you know, ace, two, three, four, five, etc. You know, it's a different set of cards that come with some pre-made games. And then I think there might be a forum or something somewhere where people create their own and then submit those so that people can just check out other people's games and, you know, play it with this deck. So I'm excited to dive in and mess around with it because it's, I think it was a very cool Kickstarter, a cool idea. I really hate how many Kickstarters there are for just, oh, here's a deck of cards with a steampunk themed backing. We didn't really, I really hate them when I just keep thinking like, oh, where's the Four Thrones relaunch? Those cards are so beautiful. So I'm just waiting for that to happen. But man, there's so many deck of cards on Kickstarter. It's ridiculous. And those are super popular. I feel like all of those always end up successful. And it's making me want to start one up. I'm like, people love this crap. I don't want to just do that. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. I feel like there's probably something else, but I've lost all train of thought. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3, Instagram mkush. Don't forget to check out the new feature on pixelatedsausage.com, Instaboardgramming, with the greatest name ever. But also check out the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio at pixelatedradio.com, which will get you to that show and this show. And it would be greatly, greatly appreciated if you spread the word about the show, especially since it's moved to being a more board game centric show, to let other fellow board game fans listen to it, and maybe they'll not like it at all. Maybe they'll like it. I don't know. They're like, why am I listening to this one person just talk to himself? I don't know. Don't come looking at me for that answer. But yeah, tell everyone. And really rate, review, subscribe to the show on iTunes because that really does help. And also check out the show on Stitcher Radio because that is cool too. Stitcher Radio is a good place. But yeah. Of course, go to frontburner.net. Check out that site and register. Join in with the community. Maybe hard to find, but just like, you know, go to the forums, post in the forums, post on the wall, post comments and stories, do things like that. And then check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Sports Car Unleashed Podcast at scunleashed.com, and Kicking Out at 2. That is Kicking Out, the at symbol, the number 2. There's also the Sprite stuff, but the way it works now is the Front Burner podcast feed is just going to be the dumping ground for every podcast on the site. And that's going to be kind of a mess at this point, if even more shows up, because there's a new show that just popped up, which it could have been a good show. I don't know, but the audio quality was not that great, so I didn't listen to it. But yeah, that is it. Also, I mean, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know good and well. And I mean, you don't need me to tell you about the Dice Tower and all that. But that is a fantastic site. I mean, I was going to say show, but I mean, the videos they make, that they produce and post are great. Their various podcasts are great. Tom Vassell is just an awesome guy. And I look forward to meeting him. In the near future, I would also very much like to meet Sam Healy and Z Garcia. I really like Z a lot because I just feel like we have a bit of the same mentality. So I would very much so like to be able to meet him too. I'm not sure if he's going to Origins or Gen Con. I'm not sure who's going to all of those shows. But speaking of those shows, I'll be there. So if you will be there, you can email me, marketpixelatedsausage.com, about meeting up or whatnot at one of those shows, now or closer to the events. Just let me know. Once again, just please spread the word of the show. Yeah. I hope y'all have a lovely rest of the Friday. which is very close to being over. No, maybe depending on where you are. Well, it's still going to be close. I mean, even if it's 8 o'clock by you, it's still getting late. And have a great weekend, everyone. I also saw Neighbors, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. It seemed a lot more mellow, more reserved than some of the other comedies, like featuring Seth Rogen and whatnot. Like, it felt like it was in a weird place of, like, I don't know, like it almost wants to be, no, that's not right either. I was going to say, like, oh, it wants to be between 50-50 and This Is the End. But I think that the 50-50 comparison's a bit, no. But it was not bad. It just wasn't, like, I can't speak to any, like, super memorable moments like I can with This Is the End. I maybe would say I like to about the same degree, but This Is the End had some hilarious moments. I mean, the part with the jacking off, I was like, oh, that's an adult thing. But that thing with, you know, a person named Jack, well, I'm gonna go off now. That part was just, that had me dying when I saw that in This Is the End. There's nothing like that for me in Neighbors. But it's a decent movie, and if you're looking for a comedy, it's an adult comedy, check it out. But that is it. Once again, have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. I will talk to y'all on Tuesday when I finally am. I'll have to talk about Heavenly Sword once more, but I'll never have to talk about it again for that. So, yes. Go Blackhawks! Lirir maður frá frakasti, kuttu ég glendi ekki því sem þú gerði, kuttu þú mátt ekki að vala sér sokki, kuttu finnur þú ekki fyrir núna, farðu þetta maður mín, elska mín. Mother of me, let kiss you bad, let kiss you bad, man. Sem þú gerir kutu Núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera kutu Hjartan skal deyja aldrei kutu En þú ekki hjörtu Farðu þetta maður mín Elska mín, maður mín Let it kiss you bad, let it kiss you bad, man.